If Jesus wants to give you a gift, it's a good idea to receive it. It's a great idea to receive it. It's kind of silly to reject a gift, right? A good gift, at least. And it would be very unwise to tell Jesus, "Oh, Jesus, I don't need a gift from you," right? That would be unwise. And if Jesus is offering us something, well, of course, it's the best thing to do is to receive what he's offering. Sounds silly or unwise to do otherwise. However, this is what people do when we reject the peace that Jesus offers. We're rejecting a gift that he wants to give us. And so, I've said it's silly. I believe you probably think it's silly to reject something that Jesus wants to freely give us that he knows that that's good for us. But people, we do it all the time. A gift freely offered, but often not received. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord. For you are our rock and our redeemer. You alone should we rightly fear. You alone should we fully follow. You alone should our lives be founded upon. Lord, I ask you to help the congregation, whoever's listening to this, to pray right now for themselves, that they would hear your word, not for me, Lord, but whatever you are speaking, and that they would hear it and receive it. And Lord, I pray for me that the words that I do proclaim would glorify you and would help us to hear and receive the gift of your true peace that you're offering us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to hear from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, starting with verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Well, friends, our big point today is the true peace of Jesus is greater than fear and trials that come in this world. He's giving us what we need to serve his mission in our life. And we need to accept no substitutes for his peace. So let's look at the context of when Jesus taught this teaching. What was Jesus preparing to do at this time? He's drawing very near to the cross. He's about to be arrested. And then he'll be tortured, and then he'll be killed on that cross. And so he was preparing his disciples for that. And in a way, letting them know ahead of time what was happening, even though they didn't realize what he was saying. He's also preparing them for ministry after he's gone, telling them that he's going to be with the Father. And so he's preparing the disciples to be his leadership. So he's preparing them for the shorter term and the longer term. And he's teaching them ahead of time in order to strengthen their future faith in a way. And he does this for us too. So that when we get to the point where we're actually getting the lesson, we look back and see, oh, God was teaching me all along the way. He was with me all along the way. He knew what was coming. And so he's doing this with the disciple. He's planning out the continuation of his mission on planet Earth. His mission to restore people to relationship with God. He's planning out not just his death and resurrection. He knows that that's coming, but he's planning out how the message of his salvation, of restoration of relationship with God, how that message is going to get out to the world, this offering of peace with God. So he's planning to bring peace to any soul who will believe in him. And this peace that he's going to be offering is not just some temporary earthly product or substance, a spiritual fix for your soul temporarily. It is the new reality we live in when we have relationship with the Lord, as we as we are restored through forgiveness, through Jesus Christ, it's the new reality, the new identity we have. So I want to talk about Jesus' peace, this restoration, this new reality, this wholeness, this peace of Jesus. First, a bit about what it is not. Peace, we often define peace as an absence of conflict in worldly terms. And therefore, in worldly terms, it's fragile because we're always worried the conflict's going to come back, right? Whether it's on a national level or inside a house between spouses, or, you know, we think of peace, I think, in human or earthly terms as temporary. But God's peace isn't like that, right? God's peace isn't just an absence of conflict. In fact, if peace were an absence of conflict, then Jesus didn't have peace in his life because Jesus had plenty of conflicts, right? So we're talking about a deeper kind of peace. Jesus knew that he had conflict. He knew his followers would have conflict. And so when we talk about peace, we're not talking about avoiding conflict. In fact, if you spend your whole life practicing conflict avoidance, that is definitely not the way to peace. You're going to have all kinds of internal turmoil, because if you avoid conflict, there's going to be things you should have stood up for that you didn't, right? So peace is not simply conflict avoidance or the absence of conflict. It is this true change of status in a positive way with God, becoming God's children, being welcomed into God's family through Jesus Christ. It's a restoring of wholeness. We were broken, but we are made whole through the forgiveness and righteousness and love of Jesus Christ, through his victory over death and sin and evil. And when we believe in him, we're restored. It's what the Bible calls shalom. Shalom, the peace of God. Shalom is this Old Testament Hebrew word that means wholeness. It's this deep peace, this true peace with God that we have when we are restored, when we are made right. Our broken pieces are all mended. We're put together, and we are a new creation in Christ. This is what Jesus' peace is. So how do we have that peace? How do we have that peace? We receive it by faith. It's a gift. We receive it. It's not something we can earn or do by our morality or our church background or something like that. Faith, by trusting in Jesus, believing in him, we are given peace, or this restoration, or this wholeness. And to experience it, to experience the relief of it, the feeling of it, if you want to call it that, we have to live in it. We have to receive and live in the gift daily. We have to be in a surrendered relationship with the Lord. Because we can have that whole restored new identity, but then not live in the benefits of Jesus' peace. And that would be silly, right? That'd be like opening this beautiful gift. Let's say somebody gives me a wonderful Corvette, and then I just park it in somebody else's garage, and I never drive it. Well, that would be crazy, right? If we're given a wonderful gift to enjoy, to appreciate, we should use it. And to use the peace of Christ, first we believe, but then we surrender to life with God daily, living with him as our leader, trusting in him as our protector. So every follower of Jesus, every believer is offered his peace. But the sad truth is, not every follower of Jesus regularly lives in the peace he offers. We set aside the gift. And we do that by not living a surrendered life, by trying to take back the reins of our own life, by trying to do things our way, by trying to live for our own glory. And that's one way it happens. But sometimes life just happens to us, right? Sometimes trials and tribulations come, persecution, troubles, difficulties, health trials, financial, whatever, worldly stuff, pandemic maybe. These things happen to us, and we can take our eyes off Jesus. Like when Peter got out of the boat and he was walking on the water, he was fine until he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the waves, right? And so we can get overcome by the trials in the world and the fear that comes with that. And when we do that, we're believing in the trials being greater than the Lord. And so Jesus here says, your peace will be tested by troubles and by fear. That's how our peace is tested. Our peace is tested by troubles and fears in this world. And I do something, and Tina reminds me when I'm doing it, is in my life, I borrow trouble. I borrow trouble, especially, something difficult is starting to happen, and I start to say, how bad can it get, right? I start to think about all the terrible scenarios that can happen. And when I'm doing that, I'm borrowing trouble from the future that may not even happen, right? I'm, and, and, And I need to deal with the issue of today rather than worry about the troubles of tomorrow. So one of the reasons we're overcome by troubles and lose our peace is we start not to live in the present with God, and we start trying to worry about controlling the future. We borrow troubles that aren't even really here yet, right? And so we need to be real. Yeah, we're going to have troubles, but God is always greater than our troubles, and we don't need to be troubled people, and we don't need to fall to the fear. Whatever we face, God is greater. Whether it's disease, right? Whether it's a difficulty in a relationship, whether it's death itself, God is greater than any and every trial you will ever face. Jesus said, it's also in the Gospel of John, that we will have trouble in this world. But he told his disciples and he tells us, take heart, I have overcome the world. So yes, there are scary things out there. But we need not be troubled and live in fear. We need instead to daily remember that Jesus Christ is with us and loves us and has restored us. And we need to receive his peace daily by surrendering to him. So that begins in the morning for me. I don't know about you, but I often wake up in the morning, usually. And so you need to surrender every day. Every day is an opportunity to surrender to him and say, God, this day is a day to live for you, to rejoice in the life you've given me, to bring you glory. You can do it in your morning. Do it at your meal times as reminders, because as we go through the day, we can get off track, right? Do it in the evening when you're recounting your day. Do it when something joyful happens and say, praise the Lord, at least internally, if not externally, right? Do it when you're facing difficult times. Pray to God and say, God, you are greater than this trial right now. Every day you have opportunity to live in a surrendered way. And when you're doing that, you will be living in the peace Christ offers you. Now, another way you can stay in the peace Christ offers you is to become aware of when you're falling to substitutes for Christ's peace that are really lies. So we can protect ourselves by making sure, am I buying into a substitute for this permanent, durable peace that Christ offers, and instead I'm accepting some flimsy, weak, temporary peace that the world offers? Because Jesus says, I don't give you peace like the world gives, because he gives us this durable, permanent relationship change with him that's not based on circumstances, that's not based on feelings. It's based on him and what he's done for us, so it's permanent, it's forever. And yet we often accept substitutes. So we want to make sure that we don't accept substitutes, these bad lies, right? But you know what's funny about lies is we often don't fall for the really obvious ones, like, oh, be a terrible person today and don't live in peace, right? You know, so we often fall for lies that are tricky. It's the attractive lies that have a feeling like they're right for us for some reason. You know, the sophisticated, smart-sounding lies, or the smooth, good-looking lies, right? The lies that promise us peace in an easy way without surrender, promise us peace on our terms, right? And they kind of suck us in. So I want to talk about some of these false substitutes of peace that the world offers. I want to talk about any external solutions for peace. Now, the ones, you know, we could think, oh, if I really get my life ethical, right? And I'm not against ethics, right? But if we really get my life ethical, if whatever that means for you, if I go fully organic, if I go fully carbon free, if I go vegan, or if I say, oh, I'm going to eat only locally sourced meats, if I do perfect recycling, or if I meditate just perfectly, you know, if I do all those things, I will have peace. No, you'll have a temporary type of peace that the world offers, but that doesn't change your soul like Jesus Christ offers. Those are external. Now, those aren't evil, but they don't change your soul permanently. They're temporary fixes, okay? The balance lie. I want to talk about the balance lie. If I can just perfectly balance my schedule, right, then I will have peace. There's so many things about your schedule you can't control. Now, I'm not saying don't have an organized schedule, but if you think you can actually heal your soul by having a balanced schedule, that is arrogance. The perfect balanced schedule does not exist, right? Jesus did not have a balanced schedule. He was fully committed, right? There's no such thing as balance. It is a myth, okay? As far as, you know, balance that leads to deep, eternal, lasting peace. No, it's temporary, okay? okay? And there's a lot of frustration with people, deep frustration, that are trying to seek balance that never get it, okay? So there's that balance lie. There's the feelings lie. The feelings lie. Follow your heart. Do what feels right to you. Follow your dreams. It comes in different forms, but if you just do what feels good to you, you will have peace. No. Not if it's not founded on who God created you to truly be, okay? And then there's this lie that sounds really good. Everything in moderation. It almost sounds scriptural too, right? Everything in moderation. And I'll add to the everything in moderation lie. This is kind of the religious sounding lie. If I just do everything really good, if I live a moral life, if I don't do bad stuff, then I will have peace. Again, that can't change your status with God. That can't make you holy enough to have God's Spirit live in you. Might make you feel good temporarily or feel better than other people. That's part of that religious lie is comparison. At least I'm not as bad as so-and-so, so therefore I have peace. No, you don't. The peace that Jesus offers is restoration. Restoration, a real, whole, new identity in Him that He alone can give. It's not the external solution. It's not the balanced solution of the world. It's not the feelings lie. It's not the everything in moderation or the religious lie. Those are all temporary, even though there's good things about each and every one of those. There's good things about a balanced schedule. There's good things about practicing ethical practices in your life or seeking to have a decent schedule or being aware of your emotions and your feelings. But if you manage all that stuff and don't have a relationship with God, then you are not at peace with the one who made the universe. Period. All of them fall short. Not because each of those substitutes are terrible and evil, but because they don't solve the main issue. That brokenness that we have with God that needs to be restored. That wholeness that only God can give. Only relationship with God offers that. And so until we receive as a gift the peace that Christ offers, external habits are of no good. Until we receive the peace of Christ, there is no balance from the outside that heals our soul. Until we have Christ, our feelings will often mislead us. And religion, even morality, even ethics, even practicing everything in moderation, is of no good towards giving us only the peace that Christ can give. You only can get that from Him, from trusting Him, giving your life to Him. So my friends, the simple question is, if you want peace, do you have Him? Do you have His peace from Him? There's no peace, true, deep, eternal, durable peace apart from Christ. And so friends, He's calling you to this peace. But in order to do that, I want to take some words from here, from our scripture. In order to have a peace greater than even the devil can steal from you, you have to rise up and accept what He's offering. You have to rise up and follow Him. He's offering, but we must receive. We must rise up and take what He's purchased from us. Do you want Jesus' peace? Then rise up and receive it from Him. Do you want to have Jesus' peace? Then rise up and praise Him for making you whole. Do you long for others to have that peace that passes all human understanding? Then rise up daily and pray for others that they would know the love of God through Jesus Christ. Don't just complain about others being broken. Rise up and pray for their peace. Rise up and be a servant of Jesus Christ because He came to do what no other person could do. He came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. So we must rise up now and tell ourselves daily that He did what we could not do. We must tell our friends and our family and our neighbors what He has done for us. So won't we rise up, friends, and see what Jesus gives us? Peace. Peace that the world cannot give. Oh Lord, we need to rise up. We need to step up and follow You and receive Your peace. Help us daily to do that this week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next steps, friends, are on the screen. Number one, if you want Jesus' true peace for your life, just type in number one or email us next@palousechurch.org. If you are receiving Jesus' peace for the first time and say, you know, I've never had that, I've never had a relationship with Him, make sure you let us know and we will follow up with you. If you are praying that someone else that you know would have Jesus' true peace in your life, put number two. You don't have to list their name, but rise up and pray for them. Pray for them daily. Put them on your daily prayer list. Pray that other people would have that whole restoration, that new identity in Christ. Number three is our memory verse, John 14:27. It should be on the screen, hopefully, John 14:27. And number four, our breath prayer for the week. Lord, keep me in your peace. He'll do his end, friends, but praying that will help remind you that I need to receive his peace and surrender to his leadership in my life. Thanks be to God for his word.